Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle Turmoil fans, QT and Sign Guy with you here on another Sunday afternoon. If you're looking for some wrestling this afternoon, if you're up in our region, you have PNPW in Astoria, Oregon. You also have, as usual, NWA Blue Collar Wrestling in Portland at the North Portland Eagles. If you're out in the Midwest, KDW running at the arena in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And today, we are celebrating the unique part of the wrestling business, reverse second generation. In a nutshell, reverse second generation wrestlers are wrestlers or people within wrestling that followed their sons into the wrestling business. So the son was in the business to begin with, and then the father followed them, or mother, and you happen to be Judy Bagwell, who is reverse second generation herself. And to start off the show, we have with us one of the more famous reverse second generation performers, John Cena Sr. Welcome back to the show. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for asking me. It's an honor to be on the show. Let's have some fun.
Absolutely. Now, for the people that may have missed it the last time you were here, were the people that want a refresher, could you tell us a little bit about what led you to getting into the wrestling business following your son?
Well, let's give the abbreviated version. I had just gone through a divorce, and obviously a lot of time on my hands, didn't know what to do with myself. John had already been into the business. I saw an ad for a ring announcer, and I talked to John. I said, what do you think, kid? Think I should get down and try out? He said, look, you're doing nothing. Might as well. You love the business. You love what you do. I used to promote, and he said, it'll give you a chance to get back in. So I went down and tried out for the ring announcer, and the promoter at that time, which was Star Wars Wrestling in Salisbury Beach, said, wow, good set of pipes, but I think I've got somebody. I said, not a problem. I have two other promotions who are looking for a ring announcer. And he says, hold on. He said, I'm looking for somebody to be a heel manager. Well, bingo. You know, there it is. Right time, right place. And J-Fab was born. Johnny Fabulous was born. And then later on came John Cena Sr., and that's basically how I get started, how I get back into it. Originally, it was just setting up shows and helping promote. And then I find myself now, did some training and got involved. I was actually now the manager in the ring, taking bumps, doing matches. So that's how it all started.
When you first start out getting back into wrestling and you're doing managing, did you have an idea of what you wanted to do with your own career? Did you have like an ultimate end goal in mind when you first got into it, or was it something you just sort of let evolve naturally?
No, what it was, when I get back into it, I did have a goal. The goal of every manager is not to be the star, not to shine. The goal of every manager is to put over the men and women who they are privileged to work with. And I really mean when I say privileged. I've been privileged to work with some outstanding young men and women. So my goal was to be the best heel in the business and put these young men and women over in a position where they got the shine and they got the heat. That really was my goal. And now, as you know, I do both sides, heel and face.
Now, as someone that is the father of someone that works for the largest company in the world, did you have any sort of goals of mind as far as what you wanted to do as far as independents versus national companies? Did you see yourself making your way to the largest companies at first, or was that something that happened to you as a byproduct of just being in the business and being trained?
I had no goals. When I get back into the business, I was 54. 54, 56, right around there. I had no aspirations of getting involved in any national organization or worldwide organization. Obviously, the WWE is the best. There is no question about it, and that's what all these young men and women aspire to become part of. My goal was to enjoy myself, because you have to have fun in this business. So it was to have fun, help others, young men and women coming up, do the best possible job I could, and enjoy what I was doing. And that really was my goal. And secondary, just by chance, I got a call from WWE, and that led, obviously, to the infamous Randy Orton kick.
Yes, the infamous punt. A lot of the fans might know that your son, of course, was trained in California and was a product of the APW school and then later went to OVW. When you were starting out, did he recommend anyone as far as training and teaching you as far as being a manager or how to take a bump, or is it something that he kind of left to you to figure out on your own?
Well, first of all, it's UPW. I don't mean to correct you. APW is one of the organizations I work for down here, Atlantic Pro Wrestling out of Salisbury. Great little group of individuals, some up-and-coming stars there. No, it was basically like, okay, Pops, you're back in, so good luck. There's plenty of people to help. Freight Train was a great trainer. Knuckles Nelson's helped me out. Big Guns, Jim Sargent. Anybody that I worked with, they were always willing to take time, spend time in the ring, show me what to do and how to do it. And the managing part of it just seemed to come natural, because, you know, when you feel the part, when John Cena Sr. gets to the arena, I'm John, I get to the curtain, and when he comes through, he's either Johnny Fabulous, the richest man in the world, and that's an arrogant character. That's pretty easy to do. I think being a heel is very easy. Being a face is a difficult situation. But it was left up to me to create the character, to bring the character to life. It was kind of like John said, hey, good luck, have fun, and I am. That's what I do.
You spent some time, like we mentioned, in WWE doing a few different things for them. When you get to that level, I know you'd been around wrestling previous to this, but when you're working for that company and it's a very high-end production, multi-million dollar company, does it give you any different sense of what you need to do or how you need to perform than it would be on your standard independent?
I would say yes. On the independent scene, you're allowed to be who you are, what you are, and you're allowed to bend the rules a little bit. When you go to work for WWE, you are told this is what we're going to do, this is how we're going to do it. They're always open to suggestions, but it's a whole different ball game. One, they want to make sure everybody is safe in what they do, that it can be done, and it will be done safely. It's a production. It really is. I mean, after the infamous punt, you remember that I main evented Raw. I was the last match on Raw. Randy Orton, remember, John was handcuffed to the turnbuckle. And I had to wrestle or he would lose his championship. That was put together, and we just did what they said, because there was a few openings that Randy took, which is only natural. I think it worked out very well, but there's no twists or turns when you get into that upper level of professional wrestling or entertainment.
I remember the match you're talking about with Randy Orton. Previous to that, did you have very many actual in-ring matches where you actually wrestled someone, or was that one of the first ones that you were an active competitor?
No. On the indie scene, when I first started, it was managing, and then I came up with a suggestion, well, you know, in order to keep your heel status, I mean, there's a rule in the business, I guess, you just don't hit the heel manager, not right away anyway, because you'll kill the heat, you'll kill the manager. It just doesn't work. Then I came up with the idea, based on what I've seen, watched TV, some of the old matches, why not put me in a six-man tag with my guys? And so I actually got in the ring and started wrestling and taking some bumps. And it was fun. Now I do this. I still do a couple of matches. Last year I did a match against Sid Epic in Attleboro, Massachusetts. It was for Wishamania, which is for Make-A-Wish. I just did a show last night for them, the second one. For this year, for Make-A-Wish. But that was something that was supposed to go in, do a promo, and leave. Well, it ended up, I did the promo, he did the slap. Next thing you know, we did an eight-minute match. So it wasn't prior to getting to WWE, that was my first experience. I had experience along the way. But nothing on the level of WWE.
Right. Well, at this point, our other guest is waiting for us to call him, so I'm going to place a call and see if we can get Paul Moonshine on. So one moment, bear with us as we try to locate Paul Moonshine.
Hello.
Paul Moonshine, welcome to Turnbuckle Turmoil.
Yes, thank you.
Now, Paul, we got from John Cena Sr. how he got into wrestling following his son. For the people that may have missed it when you were on here before, can you tell us a little bit about how you got to be a reverse second-generation performer?
I've been a wrestling fan all my life, ever since I was like 8 years old, and I was a truck driver, and I always told my son, my son's been a wrestler for some 12 years now, and always told my son, I said, if I ever end up having to retire from truck driving, I would like to manage him, and so I was forced into retiring, so I kept going to every time I was in town, I would go to his shows and watch him perform, and at one promotion he was at, they always asked me to be at ringside and take pictures for him, and so I did that at the same time when I was driving, and then I when I did have to retire, I was at the shows, and I was always standing towards the aisle where he came out at, and gave him a hug as he was going to the ring, I just kept putting on different gimmicks, kind of like his gimmick, and then I had a jacket on and it said Paul Moonshine on the back, and all the fans got to know who I was, and then one day I decided that I'm gonna get matching hats made, and I had one made of JB Moonshine and one made of Paul Moonshine, and as he was coming out to the ring, I stopped him and took off his old old hat and put on his new one. I put on mine, and the following week when it was time for him to perform, the promoter told one of the referees go out there in the aisle and bring me in the back, and I would go out with JB Moonshine, and ever since then I've been managing him and being at ringside at every show.
I wonder whatever happened to that referee.
Oh, he's still around.
Oh, very nice.
He's, yeah.
Well, pretty recently you had your very first one-on-one singles match. You previously had competed in a tag team match, and you previously had a battle royal that you competed in too. Did you ever in your wildest imaginations, the day you were told to go to the back so you can manage your son, that you would be an active in-ring competitor who, to my recollection, if you don't count the battle royal, is undefeated?
No, I never did. And yes, you're right. I am considered to be undefeated. In that tag team match that I was in, we won that match. And then, the one-on-one match where it was manager versus manager, I won that match.
For the people that may not be totally aware, you not only manage your son JB Moonshine at NWA Blue Collar in Portland, but you have managed in several different companies. You've managed in CPW up in Seattle. You've managed at the company in Spokane, Washington. I believe you wrestled one or two other places in Portland. So you're getting around. You've managed people outside of your family. You've brought in relatives such as Jason Kincaid and Casey Carlisle and managed them when they're in the Portland area. Starting out, did you have any goals for your own career that you would do all of this, or was this something that sort of evolved and came organically to you?
It just evolved. I never in my wildest imaginations I've managed several different relatives, several different people. Jason Kincaid, Casey Carlisle. Last night I managed another one, and he was J.D. Mason Moonshine. It's just phenomenal. I enjoy it. I enjoy what I do. I enjoy being around the fans. The fans love me everywhere I go. The fans love the Moonshiners wherever we go.
Well, Mr. Cena, I know that for your career, you've been very entertaining wherever you've gone, and obviously your son opened a few doors also, just being who he is. You not only have been on professional wrestling, but you've also been on reality TV doing an appearance or two of Total Divas. When you first got back into wrestling after John got into it, in your mind, was a total entertainment package something you envisioned, or were you looking strictly at professional wrestling as professional wrestling, not really looking to branch out into other forms of entertainment?
Well, I have to go along with Paul, as we both have been wrestling fans for a long time. I think if you hear the story, I got cable TV so the kids could watch pro wrestling, and my goal was to be in the pro wrestling, do what I could do to help out, and just enjoy it and have some fun. I had no aspirations beyond that. Everything else just seemed to fall into place. And if anything else happens in my career, I'm sure Paul feels the same way. We're very thankful, and it's a gift to us, or to me.
Now, John recently got engaged. Of course, everyone that saw WrestleMania saw that. So you'll be gaining a relative, of course, that's also in the wrestling business. And that person has many relatives in the wrestling business. When you look at the overall dynamic of the family tree, so to speak, do you see your family being one of the largest wrestling families when you factor in all the marriages and people that are married to people within the business?
Wow, that's a good question. I would probably say no. You've got the Rhodes family. You know, you've got the Guerreros, outstanding professional wrestlers. I mean, you look at the Inouye family. I would say no. It's Daniel Bryan, Brie, Nikki, John, John Laurinaitis, Kathy Colas, his wife. I wouldn't think that we would be the largest. No, I would not believe that.
All right. Paul, you're, of course, a little bit less in years than Mr. Cena is in the business, but you've managed quite a few people, and your family, of course, the Moonshiners, seems to grow quite a bit. Can you tell us if we've seen the last of the Moonshine family, or are there still members of your family out there that we've not seen yet?
There's still members out there, I believe, that eventually I'm going to have the privilege of walking to the ring with. We go back a long ways, and I keep finding that more and more keep coming out of the woodwork that I wasn't aware of, as soon as they realize that I'm there, I'll be going out to the ring with more.
Oh, you're reverse second generation, which is extremely rare, more rare than I even realized when we first conceived of the show for today doing this. Another rare thing, not quite as rare as reverse second generation, is third generation. Do you think eventually there will be a third generation of the Moonshine family?
That's kind of hard to say right now. I've got JB doesn't have any kids of his own. My youngest, which is also an original, JD Moonshine, also known as Redneck. He has a couple of daughters, but you just never know what, you know, they may grow up to someday be wrestlers. By that time, I may not be around anymore, but it could happen.
You say that, but as I recall, you once told us that you had a goal of being the oldest active manager. Is that still a goal you see yourself achieving?
Yes, I do. I think that's what my intentions are, and I'm gonna I'll be 63 in June, and I'm still going strong.
Mr. Cena, how many years do you think that you're gonna be in the business? Are you just taking it day by day, or do you have like a plan in place as far as how long you want to do this?
Well, let's put it this way. I'm 73 this year. I'm still able to walk into the ring. I'm still able to bump in the ring. I'm still able to put over those wonderful professional men and women. And as long as the good Lord allows me to move and I can still get up those stairs and get in that ring and do my thing, I have no plans of stopping. It's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. It's great fun. Meet some great people. So, you know, if I can go till I'm 80, 85, 90, who knows? You just keep going until the body says, I think it's time to stop. And then you know what I say to myself? When I'm done managing, when and if that day ever comes, there's always commentary.
Absolutely. That's absolutely a fantastic way to look at it. You also have experience in your day in promoting. Is promoting your own show something that you had enjoyment in doing, or do you prefer to be out there as a participant and let someone else do the promoting end?
I think those days are gone. If I had known what I know now, I probably never would have promoted. That is probably the most difficult job in the world. You're either loved or you're hated. As you know, most promoters are hated, only because they're in business. I don't think I'd want to do promoting ever again. I would like to stick with what I'm doing now.
Paul, we discussed that you were active in ring, had your first singles match this year. Is there any other aspect of the business that you have not done to date that interests you in trying before all is said and done?
I agree with Mr. Cena. I like to do with I enjoy what I'm doing. I take the bumps with the best of them. I've had injuries. I've been pile driven. I had neck surgery from it. I've had steel chairs wrapped around my shoulder, and I had that surgery from that. I've had back surgery, but I would never give up what I don't regret anything that I've ever done. I would do it all over again. I took a serious bump a couple of weeks ago, and I'm still recuperating from that. I don't regret anything I've ever done.
Well, since we're talking about reverse second generation here, obviously it wouldn't be possible for the two of you to be reverse second generation without the children being there. Both of you have had the pleasure of working with your children in the wrestling ring together. Mr. Cena, what would you say was your proudest moment being with your son and performing in the ring?
I guess I would have to say when I faced Randy Orton. That was probably one of the highlights of working with my son outside of the time that I get punted. Those were the two most memorable moments. And I've done quite a few with WWE, but I would think that match was probably a true highlight, where John was handcuffed to the ring basically, and Orton was just having his way with me, basically. That's what it broke down to. I would think that would be it.
Now, Paul, you've been out there many times with JB and other members of your family. What's been the proudest moment for you as far as a family moment in the ring?
There's been several, but I think my proudest has got to be when my boys in 2015 won Tag Team of the Year.
The NWA Tag Team of the Year in 2015, as I recall.
Yes, it was.
Now, Mr. Cena, you've been in the business for a while now, and you weren't a novice when you got back into it, of course. How much advice do you have from people that are on shows with you that were in way before you got into it that are trying to help you? And how much advice do people seek out of you on independent shows?
Wow. Well, when I was starting out, and I was starting out, I mean, this is not an overnight thing. You just don't do it right away. They were very helpful to me. Those people that I mentioned would help me, show me the holes, help me work. And so now it's my turn to pay back. And what I mean by that is, you might say to somebody you had a great match, but usually those people who really want to reach the top or get ahead in this business will come and ask, what did you think of the match? What do you think I could do better? How was I out there? And that's not just me. I mean, when you work with people like Flair or Mick Foley, it's the same thing. You can always tell the young men and women who truly want to reach, as Kowalski, God rest his soul, would say, for the star and maybe on the way up, you know, go for the moon, but you grab a star on the way up. Those young men and women constantly seek to get better. And so advice is something that we all took. I know I did. I there isn't a day or a match or a show that I do that I don't go to the back and say, how was it? What do you think? What can I do to improve? You know, it's a learning process forever. That's how I feel. And I always seek advice when I go out there and when I go to the back. If I'm managing a tag team or I'm managing an individual, be the same thing. How do we do? What do you think? It'll be back and forth. That's how you grow and learn in this business. And anybody who's afraid to ask for advice or accept criticism really should think twice about being in the business, because that's how you grow and that's how you become an outstanding superstar.
Paul, what about you? When you were starting out, were the people there offering a lot of advice to you? And on the flip side of that, do you see a lot of the younger guys, now that you've been in for a while, coming to you to get advice?
Yes, some do. I'm in the process of not in the BCW aspect, but I'm in the process of starting to manage someone that's outside of the family. He's asked me questions and what have you, and I'm always also seeking advice as a manager standpoint. I've talked to Robbie E from TNA. I've talked to Chris Youngblood. I've also talked to Kevin Sullivan. So I'm always seeking advice what I could do better as a to better myself as a manager.
Kevin Sullivan is a pretty fair manager, so I think, you know, you're on the right track there. Well, gentlemen, QT Vokes is standing by. I'm sure he has questions. So, Thez, help you both as I pass things to QT.
Well, thank you, Sunday. Hello, Pa, and welcome back, John Cena Sr.
Thank you. It's great to be here, and it's an honor to be on the same show with Paul. Thanks, Paul, for being on.
Thank you, and it's an honor for me also.
Now, Pa, I'll start out with you, and although this is not quite a reverse generation question, it is very vital to the groundwork of this show. Pa, the world was shocked yesterday when 1970s Happy Days star Erin Moran, who was known by her character Joni Cunningham, passed away. In your opinion, in her prime years, say in 1978 to 1985, under your guidance, could she have honed her skills to a razor-sharp edge enough so that she could have taken Sunny Days in a blue-collar wrestling stipulation match?
Well, of course she could. I mean, anybody that wants Paul Moonshine's guidance, they're going to come out on top one way or the other.
Oh, okay. All right. Very good. Now, Mr. Cena, Ken Griffey Jr. hit 630 home runs in his career with Seattle and Cincinnati, but his father was no slouch either. His father was a two-time World Series champion, a three-time All-Star, and had 2,143 hits in a 19-year career. My question is, you and John Cena, if you were starting on first base, arrive at third base, starting with a crack of the bat from Ken Griffey Jr., if both you and John mentioned were on first base and Ken Griffey was in the batter's box?
My answer to that is yes. You manage the best, you want the best, and if the best listens with the top managers, Paul and myself, there's no way that we wouldn't make third, we'd make home.
Whoa, okay. But now, home. Now, granted, Ken Griffey Jr. had the presence of mind to overcome a hamstring that was torn from the bone and have it restapled to his bone using some screws. So I think even he overcame that horrific injury. I think it would be a tie at home base between Ken Griffey Jr. and yourself and your son.
It always is when you have two great athletes in the same ring or on the same diamond.
Oh, okay. Very good. Diamond, yes. Now, both you and John and Ken Griffey Jr. Deserve diamonds. Yes.
Thank you.
Like 25th anniversary diamonds. Yes. Are that for your service in the business. Okay. Now, Mr. Cena, as a father, do you believe that any of the 800-mile road trips that you took over a space of 3 days helped John Jr. with his ability to focus on the details based on the games that you gave him, like peel off the sticker of the state whose license plate you see? And is it true that being the competitor that he is, John Jr. was pretty shaken when he could not see a Territory of Guam license plate, so when he got home from one of those 800-mile trips, he made one out of plywood?
I would have to say that I don't know what you're on, but you're really out there today. Fiction is a wonderful thing. So, I gave you my answer with my chuckle.
Well, now, wait a minute. Isn't it true that to the rumors that when you were on a road trip with John when he was young, you gave him that game, see the license plate, and fill in the sticker of that license plate? I thought that was true.
I would say that that's false.
Oh, okay.
No, there's no truth to that. The only truth I know is the paper championship belt and the matches that he used to have here when he was a kid. That's fact. What you have just described is a story that I've never heard before. So maybe perhaps today I'm learning something too.
Oh, all right. Okay. Well, could you see John building a territory of Guam license plate when he was younger, maybe with balsa wood and an X-Acto knife?
I would say probably not. No, I wouldn't see that. Nope.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Mr. Cena, Enrique Iglesias and Julio Iglesias are both Suave singers who made big waves in pop and Latin music, and they have also made notable duets, most notably Addicted, the songs Addicted, Tonight I'm Loving You, and Balamas. My question is, do you yourself have any reverse generation plans on singing the song Ostrich by Steppenwolf or a paperback writer by the Beatles with John Jr. at the next WrestleMania at intermission?
Well, let's just put it this way. The only place I sing is in the shower, and then the water tries to turn off. So I don't think there's going to be any singing at WrestleMania. No, I don't think so. Maybe a little rapping. I think we could handle that, but I don't think there's going to be any singing.
Oh, well, now I've seen John Jr. rap, and he's very good, yes.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
I would think that would happen, but singing, like I say, in the shower, the water tries to turn off, and then when I get out and try to sing, the mirror gets all foggy. So I, if that's happening, I can just see if there are 90,000 people at WrestleMania, and I even open my vocal cords, there'd probably be two. And those are the ones that would probably be throwing the vegetables. So, no, there'll be no singing at WrestleMania.
Oh, all right. Is there any truth to the rumors that John Jr. had contacted Tupac Shakur before he passed, or the rapper from Kansas City known as Biggie Fries, to do a duet with him? Yes, Biggie Fries.
Well, you're asking me a question I don't know the answer to. His personal life.
Okay.
I don't know too much about his personal life.
All right. Okay. Well, Mr. Cena, is there any chance that if you take care of yourself, that you will live and maybe even manage a grandson of yours against a grandson of Randy Orton in a Hell in a Cell match, or maybe even a granddaughter, for that matter?
Well, I have three granddaughters. And, you know, I would like to live to be 104, and I would like to manage one of my granddaughters against one of Randy Orton's children also. It might be something called Sweet Revenge.
Oh, Sweet Revenge. Okay. All right. Boy, I'd love to. I'd pay big money to see that match, yes.
Okay. Yep.
Big money. All right. Well, Pa, when you retired from truck driving, did JB give you a pair of his wrestling boots he was wearing at the time, and immediately the following day, he himself bought a pair of wrestling boots at Sports Authority?
No disrespect to my son JB, but I wouldn't be caught dead wearing a pair of his shoes after he's been wearing them.
I see. Would you mind if I made you a pair of my wrestling boots? I'm a part-time cobbler myself. I learned part of this trade in the Coast Guard. Could I make you a pair of boots?
You know, you and I go way back, and no, I don't trust you today. I just wouldn't trust you then. You'd make something that had mouse traps stuck in there or something. No, I wouldn't let you make me a pair of boots.
Well, okay, I consider that the highest compliments, that you would look inside the boots for a mouse trap before I gave them to you. Very nice. Okay. Well, Pa, you and I both agree that the next frontier to be realized in wrestling is the debut of Robots in the Ring. We have discussed this over a cup of coffee at the Blue Collar Wrestling concession stand. My question is, will you ever see a day when JB wrestles a robot that is managed by Kevin Brandt while you are in JB's corner?
Well, first of all, I don't know what dream you're in with me having coffee with you. You'd be the one person that would try to put something in my coffee. So I don't know what dream you had of that happening.
Well, a long time ago, I think it was about 11 months ago, I did buy you some coffee, and I did put a roofie in it. I make that clear. Yes, no roofies, but we did share a cup of coffee. I think you had been drinking from that moonshine jug that JB carries to the ring, so you can't remember me buying you a cup of coffee. But we did discuss Robot Future Wrestling, yes.
Okay. Recall that at all. As a matter of fact, every time you see me at wrestling or when I come out to the ring and I'm shaking hands and this and that, you're always hiding behind this little old lady I don't think that ever happened.
Well, now I am casting a wary glance toward superfan Marion, the chronically challenged Marion, because she did steal my wig, and I'd like Mr. Cena to be aware of that. She snatched the wig right off my head, so that's why I'm probably hiding. I think you get the impression that I'm slightly hiding from you. Yes. But no way, I'll share a cup of coffee with you, but not Superfan Marion, the wig stealer. Yes.
Yeah, well, she's my number one fan, every time you try to approach me, she gets in between us because she knows what I am capable of doing to you, and she doesn't want to see me get in any trouble.
Oh, okay, very good. I take that as a finest compliment. Very nice. All right. Well, Mr. Cena, are you a big fan of Sign Guy's Sign of the Times? Have you ever seen these on YouTube?
No.
Oh, okay. Darn. Okay. I was wondering if he had sent any of these clips to you. That was my question. Okay, well, that's your homework assignment. I am now asking Sign Guy if he could send Mr. Cena any of his Sign of the Time clips.
I suppose
Sign Guy, I do know. Sign Guy, I know. Sign Guy, I've seen. I've chatted. If he wants to send some clips, I'm perfectly willing to take a peek.
Well, it is my. I take this opportunity to get this ball rolling, so you and John can be the first father and son team to debut on a Sign of the Times episode, and Sign Guy could call this the Reverse Generation episode. I think that would that be a good thing if Sign Guy travels next year or maybe later this year. Okay, you've got that ball rolling. Okay. A Reverse Generation episode. Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Cena, Ken Norton Sr. had three fights with Muhammad Ali. In their first match, he broke Ali's jaw in the first round and then went the full distance to gain a split decision. This was back in early 1978. He lost his next two matches to Ali, but most boxing people said he won one of those two. His son, Ken Norton Jr., was the first NFL player to win three Super Bowl rings 3 years in a row with two different teams, one being the San Francisco 49ers. On several occasions, Ken Norton Jr. said to several people who were bragging about their dads, he said, I've got 3 Super Bowl rings, but my dad broke Muhammad Ali's jaw. My question is, does your son have as good a reverse generation wrestling quote about his father? Has he ever put down, say, the Nasty Boys or perhaps the Spirit Squad with a similar quote?
I would say no.
Oh. Oh, okay. Well, all right. That was you've got a
direct answer to a direct question, right?
Oh, yes. That was very direct. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, at this time, I am going to turn it back over to Sunday with the acknowledgement that I got the ball rolling with a future collaboration between Sign Guy and yourself, Mr. Cena, on a first father and son reverse generation episode. I'll take
let's not leave Paul out of this.
Oh, okay. Well, let's
make the family whole.
Oh, all right. Paul, you and JB can do a reverse generation shortly after Mr. Cena and John Jr. Yes.
Sure. I have been on Sign Guy's show on that by myself, and someday it could be me and JB on his show together.
Or I could fill in as a surrogate son with you. Yes. Honorary surrogate.
No, I don't think so. Just so that you know, and Mr. Cena knows this also, I have challenged you many times to a ladder match, and your excuse is that you can't get up on a ladder because you get nosebleeds from high places. I reduced it to a step ladder match, and you still keep finding excuses to get out of that one too.
That's true, Paul Moonshine. That's because I have been talking with Big V of Blue Collar Wrestling. As you know, he works at Home Depot, and he has promised to give me a step stool on several occasions, and he has not delivered. Much like I have not delivered my fruit pies to him, except on one occasion. So only one fruit pie has gone through to Big V, but he himself has not delivered the step stool that I need to challenge you to our step stool match. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. You just keep coming up with these excuses that one day it's going to be you and me. I'm undefeated as a in-ring performer, and I will continue to be undefeated when I finally get you cornered.
Oh, okay. Well, I do admire your undefeated streak. Yes, that's very good. And if I can't be your surrogate father, our son, for a sign of the times, I look forward to being Mr. Cena's surrogate son. Should John be busy, I'd be a good fill-in. Yes.
No, I don't think so. And Paul, I'll tell you what, I would definitely be honored to referee that match. And let's not make it easy with heights, because he's already high enough. So why don't we do this? Why don't we make it a pie in the sky match? So let's just put it this way. If you win, Paul, and I'm sure you will win, then our friend will have to not only eat the pies, but catch the pies that fall from the sky. I think that'd be pretty good.
That sounds like a terrific ordeal there. I think we should make that happen.
Either that, Paul, if you'd like, I would be honored to team up with you. It would be you and I against a partner of his choosing, and let's just see what the good old boys can do.
That's right. You betcha. And with that, it sounds to me like QT lost his tongue or something, because I think he's speechless now.
Yeah, he's gone. He's gone.
Well, what if
oh, you're gone.
Or maybe Kevin Brandt on my side. Yes.
Oh, what? Whatever you like, my friend.
You can have whoever you want. Remember, Kevin Brandt is the one I defeated a couple of months ago inside the squared circle.
So I guess, Paul, in the business, as we would say, it's now time to either shut it up or open it up and put it together. So now the onus is on you. We've made the offer, myself and Paul, against you and Kevin Brandt, anytime, anywhere, any place. So I know Paul's going to wait for the call. I'm definitely going to wait for the call. And remember, if you want some, Paul and I always say, come get some.
Oh, my.
That's
okay.
Right. And just like John Jr. would say, you can't see us.
There you go. I love it, Paul. I love it.
Yes, that's true. I have a hard time seeing these days. I constantly have to put eye drops in my eyes. They're aging. Yes. Okay. Okay. Well,
all right. Well, gentlemen, we're just about out of time, so I want to give everybody a chance to plug and promote whatever they need. So, Mr. Cena, if you want to say anything to the listeners, plug and promote absolutely anything you'd like, go right ahead.
Well, first, I'd like to thank Paul. It was an honor, a privilege, my friend, and I hope someday we can meet down the road and perhaps do something together. I'd like to thank all the wrestling fans for being there for us, for helping a lot of people have their dreams come true. It's important. The fans make or break the show and help or break the stars. So thank you to all the fans. And I got a couple of shows coming up. APW here in Salisbury, Massachusetts, May 20th. I'll be down in Attleboro in July, New Bedford in July. I'll probably be back up in Maine. So if you have a chance, come on out and support the young men and women who are working hard to entertain. And to you both hosts, thank you very much for an enjoyable day and an enjoyable interview.
Oh, thank you.
Paul, same deal for you.
Thank you. I appreciate being on the show. I also want to thank Mr. John Cena Sr. for allowing me to be on here with him. I want to thank all the fans. I also want to mention that we are at NWA BCW every Sunday night in Portland, Oregon. Bell time is at 6 p.m. That's at 7611 North Exeter in North Portland on May 6th. I want to mention that JB Moonshine, along with his new tag team partner, Dave Turner, in NWP a couple of weeks ago became brand new tag team champions. And May 6th, we're going to be at the mall in Port Orchard, Washington, bell time 7 p.m. May 7th, we're going to be at the NWP Academy show in Bremerton, Washington, at 1:30 p.m. The Academy show is something the NWP does every year. It's a fundraiser for Academy youth, the children. They do that every year. And then after that show, we're going to be right back here in Portland for BCW, NWA BCW. May 13th, we're going to be IPW, the Palomino Nightclub in Spokane, Washington. Bell time is 7 p.m. May 20th, we're going to be at NWP in Vaughan, Washington. bell time at 7 p.m., and then we're going to leave there and be at CPW on May 20th in Seattle, Washington at 9 p.m. Also, in Spokane, I'm in the process of managing a new face, and he is known as Manowar. That's our upcoming shows, and the NWP for the 6th, 7th, and the 20th, all three shows, my boys are fighting champions, and they will be putting the titles on the line on every one of them shows.
Presuming they get past the first one with the titles still intact, correct?
Pardon me?
Presuming they still have the titles after the first defense.
Assuming they have the titles after the first defense, the titles are on the line on the 6th, 7th, and the 20th.
All right. Well, gentlemen, it's been an absolute pleasure having both of you back on the show. I appreciate it very, very much. I look forward to seeing that match with QT and the two of you involved. And fans, we will be back with you next week. Next Sunday, we're going to be discussing the Washington State Bill 1420, commonly known as the Lucha Bill. It's what basically deregulated professional wrestling in the state of Washington, made it a little bit easier for promoters to run shows. We'll have some experts to discuss that, and we will be back with you next week. Get out there, support your local independent shows wherever they may be, and we will talk to you next week.